Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Listening on the radio, we'll be following Divine Service Setting 1, which begins on page 151 in the hymnal. Hymns opening 435, Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain. Hymn of the Day 846, Your Hand, O Lord, in Days of Old. Distribution Hymn 743, Jesus, Priceless Treasure. 668, Rise to Arms, with Prayer Implore You. 790, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Closing Hymn 683, Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me. Let us begin with our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God is faithful
time of silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You turn to the yellow insert and sing together the introit. Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Almighty God, you show mercy to your people in all their troubles. Grant us always to recognize your goodness, give thanks for your compassion, and praise your holy name through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Reading is from Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife had two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is the word of the Lord. We sing together the gradual on the yellow insert. Is from 2 Timothy chapter 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuit since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord. To stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you,
Lord. You may be seated for our hymn.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace of God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Suffering is part of life, and it is certainly a part of Christian life. Christians are marked by and identified with the cross of Christ. Martin Luther said, "The holy Christian people are externally recognized by the holy possession of the sacred cross. They must endure every misfortune and persecution, all kinds of trials and evil from the devil, the world, and the flesh." But repeat that so you catch it all. The holy Christian people are externally recognized by the holy possession of the sacred cross. They must endure every misfortune and persecution, all kinds of trials and evil from the devil, the world, and the flesh. That suffering isn't just what's inevitable in a sin-filled world. After all, everyone does suffer in this life. No, but it's in Christ. Because it's in Christ, it's a mark of your redemption. It's the pattern of Christ's life. So if your life is in Christ, it must be a pattern for your life also. First suffering, then glory. For in the sufferings of Christ, all sufferings are overcome. The Christian life is marked by suffering. Paul's sufferings were many. We hear the accounts of them in his writings. And in Acts, he's writing this epistle that you heard today to Timothy from prison in Rome. This is a real first century prison. This isn't the house arrest that might be a little more tolerable. This is not a pleasant place to be confined. But in many ways, many times, Paul had suffered before. Many imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death. He was frequently journeying, and we can only imagine what journeying was like at that time, but with the typical dangers of the time, through the wilderness, to rivers, the sea. We know he was shipwrecked 3 times in a drift at sea, you know, just enduring those sufferings. And also there'd be robbers, so there's the dangers of the robbers. But then there are all these people who are opposed to him, intentionally doing whatever they can to stop him, many wanting him to be put to death. He talked about suffering from hunger and thirst and exposure. He was what we would call a workaholic. His workload was extreme, and that caused him tremendous amount of suffering, physical, emotional hardship. He talks about suffering for the anxiety of caring for all the churches, all these people under his care. Talks about suffering weakness of the flesh. He suffered what he called the thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass him, that he pleaded with the Lord about. The Lord assured him that his grace is sufficient. He did not remove that thorn. So Paul is writing from a Roman prison, writing to Timothy. Paul knew that this would likely be the end for him. He would most likely die. And this is probably the last letter that he wrote before being executed. And Paul anticipated the same for Timothy. Not only from his own experiences, but also from the words of Christ. Paul knew that he and likely all pastors could expect sufferings. Timothy, we know, was imprisoned, as we hear about his release in Hebrews. And according to tradition, Timothy, as an old man and as a bishop of Ephesus, That was a seat of worship of the pagan goddess Diana. Well, he was stoned to death for preaching the gospel in opposition to a procession in her honor. And we should not expect anything less than suffering ourselves. Jesus' words on carrying crosses apply not only to pastors and apostles, but also to all Christians, to all of us. In the section in his letter to Timothy, you can note the "we" throughout the verses. We together share in suffering. And Christian suffering comes in one's vocation, the various roles that God has called you to live your life faithfully in service to Him and to others, to those who He puts in your life. And some of Paul and Timothy's sufferings, they were specifically because, and Paul was an apostle, Timothy a pastor, some of it was because of that. As Paul says, it was the gospel for which Paul was suffering. He endured everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Paul, well, he could have gotten out of prison if he abandoned the faith. Others did. Of course, he didn't. Timothy's sufferings, too, is explicitly by sharing the work of the gospel with Paul, as it says in verse 3. But Paul gives these three illustrations in our text that describe how we will suffer in our vocations. A soldier risks his life. He's risking his life because he trusts that his needs will be provided. That's why his singular aim is to please the one who enlisted him. And we in the Lord's service accept suffering by trusting that he will not forsake us, no matter what. We serve faithfully in the vocations our Lord has called us to serve in, even when things are difficult or confusing, because we know he will never forsake us. The second illustration, an athlete wishing to win a prize must submit to the rules. Can't break the rules, can't ignore the rules. Well, if we won't follow Christ's word to take up our crosses, well, our faith isn't genuine. We must submit to Jesus and his word, trust him. Obedient, faithful, no matter the consequences in this life, knowing that we will receive the prize that he has secured for us. A third illustration, the farmer will indeed enjoy his crops. And Christians whose words and lives as parents, as children, as citizens, as employees, as neighbors, testify to Jesus, they will suffer, but will finally reap God's blessing. Like the hardworking farmer, every day you're toiling, you do what has to be done, diligently and faithfully, doing the work set before us, the work we do as Christians in our vocations. It's part of the suffering we endure in this life, and the way we live, the words we speak, they testify to Christ in us, to the world. So yeah, Christians suffer, but Christian suffering is different. The Christian suffering is always in Christ. Therefore, it's suffering of faith. Paul associated his sufferings with Christ's, and now he exhorts Timothy and us to do the same. Paul's in prison. He's chained in prison, and he sees it as a blessing, being identified with Jesus. And he he's rejoicing in this. Jesus is the one who was bound and led away to his execution. Paul calls Timothy to remember what Jesus went through. We have our crucifix to remember. A man may look pitiful, disgraced in chains, but Timothy can rather see Christ when he looks at Paul and his suffering. As we suffer, see Christ Jesus, chained, beaten, crucified, dead, buried. He knows suffering. He knows your suffering. And he's with you in your suffering. And others will see Christ in us as we share in his suffering. In the midst of his trials, Paul therefore confidently confessed his faith in Christ and directs Timothy and us likewise to confess. Paul boldly announces, "But the word of God is not bound." Timothy can and will continue to preach Christ. Our suffering does not silence us, nor does it discredit us in our faith. Rather, the holy Christian people are externally recognized by the possession of the sacred cross. As we bear up, it bears witness to the one in whom we trust. We confess Christ in the midst of our suffering. We know this is Christ's pattern. First, suffering. And because Christian suffering is in Christ, who was raised from the dead, it is also hopeful. Yes, remember that Jesus Christ, after suffering, was raised from the dead. Even the chains of death, the prison of a tomb, gave way to God, who could not stay bound. This is the rest of Christ's pattern.
First suffering, then glory. Because Christ was raised from the dead, we also look forward in hope to our own resurrection and the end of all suffering. Those who are baptized into Jesus' death are also baptized into his resurrection. So Jesus' resurrection is our resurrection. The soldier not only have his needs provided, but he'll also celebrate the victory that Christ has won. The athlete will receive his prize. The hardworking farmer will indeed have the first share of crops. The saying is absolutely true. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. In Paul, the prisoner, the Lord gave Timothy an excellent example of suffering in hope. We can be that example to others as we look to others, Paul, Timothy, those amongst us, as we too must endure every misfortune and persecution, all kinds of trials and evil from the devil, the world, and the flesh. But because Christ first endured the great suffering for us, then for us also is first suffering, then glory. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God,
begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For a thankful heart, that we may not forget the Lord's kindness nor presume his mercy. For a giving spirit, that we may be preserved from selfishness and jealousy. And for a new and contrite heart, that we may love God above all and love our neighbors as ourselves, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the pastors who speak to us in God's name and administer his sacraments to us, for those preparing for this ministry, for those who are considering church work vocations, and for the seminaries, colleges, universities, and schools where our church workers learn and are being formed for service to us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For adult children who care for their parents, that God would sustain them in wisdom and compassion, and for their parents, that they might accept needed assistance with a humble spirit, let us pray to the Lord. For those who are single and desire marriage, that God would be their companion in their solitude and provide them a godly spouse and family according to his will, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in authority, that God, who provides all that we need for this body and life, would maintain order through their efforts and give them wisdom, justice, and compassion, let us pray to the Lord. Those in need of help, especially Bob, Gabby, Vicky, Fred, Anita, Lois, Lewis, Harold, Joan, Linda, Marlis, Tim, Jaden, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marilyn, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Matthew, Mark, Erno, Jeff, and Ethel, that the Lord would hear their prayers and deliver them from all their troubles and fears. Let us pray to the Lord. For the Holy Spirit and faith, that we may worthily receive the blessed food of Christ's flesh and blood in this sacrament, and for true unity of faith, that all may be one in doctrine and life, and that this unity would be manifest at the Lord, at the table of the Lord, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated as the offering is collected.
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by His glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Blessed are You, Lord of heaven and earth, for You have had mercy on those whom You created and sent Your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg You, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with Your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, as He bids us do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To You alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same way, also, He took the cup after supper. And when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us Your body and blood to eat and to drink, You lead us to remember and confess Your holy cross and passion, Your blessed death, Your rest in the tomb, Your resurrection from the dead, Your ascension into heaven, and Your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in Your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
For your news, weather, sports, and the latest throughout the Chippewa Valley, check out 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap is where Chippewa Valley relies on the latest information to stay informed and up to date on what's happening in our area. For news, weather, and sports, 24 hours a day, rely on 93.5 The Tap. CFW.
We don't need no thought control.